All right, there we go. So, Craig, and there's Craig.
Yay, Craig.
And just hang on a minute because we got to do the intro. Yep. Welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know. You've got two of us again this evening. Good to be back in front of the mic with Scouter Colin there at the other end of the Discord link.
Hello.
And of course, I am Scouter Ken. Well, where to start? New van.
Intentional or unintentional purchase?
Well, all right. So, obviously, this is a kind of a busy time for us in terms of birthdays, right? We have two kids who have birthdays kind of right at the end of October and then early in November. And for the latter, we had actually been contemplating going to the Dark Sky Festival this year out in Jasper, right?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Jasper National Park, much of it is a dark sky preserve. They have their big dark sky festival. It didn't work for us to actually attend the festival, both because, hey, pandemic, and also because that actually falls during, like, October, late October. And that just didn't work for us for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. So, though, the girls were still just like, well, you know, like, it's not so much that, like, we actually just want to go and see, like, crazy cool stars. So we had booked a cabin out in Jasper, just for like an overnight trip to go down, hopefully get a good view of the stars, come back, just a one-day retreat kind of after the second birthday there.
All right.
And then, so, I mean, not right now, obviously, with indoor activities curtailed. But prior to that curtailment, the girls would normally have had curling on Sundays. And in fact, they were at curling one particular Sunday. And all three of the girls curl now. Mm-hmm. So I was there with them, and my wife had, you know, our son, and she and he were just going out on like a quick little shopping run, something that we needed. Uh-huh. And in the words of Vader, the Traverse failed us for the last time. So an executive decision was made that it needed to go. Because the failure was such that we kind of wound up canceling the Jasper trip.
That's too bad, but
yeah, it sucks.
Better it fail closer to home than, say on the highway.
On the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that whole week, and I mean, like, fortunately, like, that was fall break week. That was the week of Remembrance Day.
Yes. Okay.
And the kids had a break from school. So, you know, like, I was able to just focus on, we were just able to focus on, you know, quickly researching and finding a new family vehicle. And so the end result is we upgraded from the Chevy Traverse to a Toyota Sienna. And apparently, I didn't realize this, apparently vans are awesome. My kids will not stop telling me how cool the new vehicle is.
Did you get a DVD player?
I did not. I did not. The trim package is actually fairly basic on this one.
Okay.
It does have Apple CarPlay. It does have Apple CarPlay.
Oh, okay. Well.
But like when we did the Disneyland trip last year, it seems like a lifetime ago. Legoland more than Disneyland. We only did Disneyland for one day.
Times.
Yeah, I know, right? But our runaround vehicle while we were down in San Diego was a Chrysler Pacifica.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Fancy van. And the Sienna is not quite that fancy, but, like, you know, they had very positive vibes coming off of that trip. They really like the van. And so they really like having this van too. And it's, you know, quad bucket seats. It's really easy to get in and out of, lots of space, lots of USB ports for powering devices. That's a feature. And I mean, I got to admit, I like the amount of space. I do. It's definitely a level up in terms of just raw capacity.
I was just going to ask you, and for a family that, you know, it a van is kind of a, I would hesitate to say that, or not hesitate, but a van is kind of a necessity. I know my,
well, certainly when you have four kids you're running around with, yes.
Yeah. Well, that was my family, right? And
yep.
It was four kids in the big van, right?
So. Yepers. I remember the big van.
Yes.
Grace's parents had the same big van.
I remember that. I remember seeing that and going, huh, nostalgia.
Yep. So anyways, that's kind of been the biggest of the big deals. And beyond that, it's just been, you know, it's not a lot going on still. So yeah. Scouting is back to virtual only.
Yeah, I was going to say, given the current climate.
Well, you know, that's the funny thing, right? Because like in theory, like, I mean, who knows? Like we're recording this on Monday evening and supposedly, you know, there's going to be a big announcement tomorrow. I expect we'll see a new round of restrictions introduced because case counts in Alberta are a little nuts right now.
We're number one.
I mean, technically Toronto has like a, Ontario announced like a dozen more cases than we did today, but they also have three times the population. So yeah, that's a thing. But anyways, so yeah, not a lot going on right now, but anyways, like the last round of sort of restrictions that were handed down were for indoor activities. So the hockey's, curling, indoor soccer, things like that. And scouting in Alberta, at least, was already at stage two, which means you can do virtual or you can do in-person outdoors.
Right.
So in theory, we weren't covered under that restriction, but Northern Lights Council, because the general tenor of Scouts Canada's response has been to be wherever a region is at in terms of their level of caution, will be a little bit more, right? So Northern Lights made the decision to punt us back to stage one, online only. So that's been a thing. But you know what? Like, that's been going, it's kind of weird. It's been weird watching how this transition to virtual has played out versus how it played out March, April, May. March, April, May, the Scouts, the Cubs, the Beavers were all fairly... they weren't terribly enthusiastic about it, but now, you know, and we very quickly realized that we were not going to be able to sustain like doing it every week. Now, no problems doing that, you know, they keep turning up and they're on and they're enthused for it. So that's good at least. But anyways, yeah, stuff's been a little bit lately. How about yourself? It's been a while, my man.
Yeah, well, really not much to report on my end. I mean, like, life still carries on, and I mean, I've been living my best socially distant life. I'm working from home.
As you do?
Most days. I still run into the office the odd time when it's required, but it's not required very often, so that's nice. And yeah, it's different, and it's starting to, I guess it's just, you know, coming to terms with things and understanding that, you know, there is that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. It's just, you know, that light is very small and a ways off yet.
So. Yeah, it's a little far away right now still.
But I mean, you know, it's there, you know, it's being, you know, a solution's being worked on and all that kind of stuff. So I've been taking it in stride. You know, from a mental health perspective, there are days that are worse than others for sure. You know, where you're just tired and, you know, you just want to see people again and like be in, you know, I would actually kill to sit across from you and podcast.
I mean, right? Throw the mics down on a table, let some randomly drunk teacher intervene.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where is that? Where is the fun, right? Like, there was that...
I don't know if you even remember this, right? But that was an idea I pitched. Oh, gosh, so much has changed, right? Like, you know, February... I think I pitched this idea to you in February. And I mean, like, even then, like, gosh, that feels like, well, I mean, it almost was a year ago, but it feels like even longer than that. Yeah. but yeah, 2020 has been the longest decade of my life. But,
yeah, exactly.
but like, I remember pitching this idea to you because at the time we had my wife's friend staying with us because she was kind of between places. Right. And so she had the room in the basement and it largely would have eliminated the basement as our recording studio.
Right.
So, you know, the idea I pitched at the time was, yeah, sure. Let's just, find a venue, meet in a venue, and we'll just always keep that third mic sitting hot, you know, hot with the volume all the way down. But if anyone wanted to come by and just randomly interject,
yeah,
turn the mic up and, you know, then they'd actually be able to, you know, sit down and take part.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while before we get to put that one into effect.
Indeed. Which is kind of unfortunate, but, you know, oh, well.
Oh, well.
We'll learn to deal, I think.
Yes, I hope. I mean, so far. I whatever they announce tomorrow, I hope it does not include significant alterations to school schedule. Because I think it would legit wreck my kids a little bit, or a lot bit, to have to curtail school again.
Yeah, I don't suspect. Well, and then this is just me, like, waxing philosophically on this end of the internet connection. You know, I would think that, just given the track record for schools and spread, that it would not likely be a restriction. There might
probably
be,
not.
Yeah, there might be some restrictions around schools, like, you know, there's no congregating on school property or whatever outside, you know, certain hours or whatever, right? Like,
I'm not sure, but
yeah, I'm not even gonna speculate on that actually at the moment. So.
But yeah, I mean, as a percentage of total cases, you know, the cases that we have seen come out of schools are a very small percentage of the, unfortunately, quite large total that we see right now. So,
but we'll see, I guess, and figure it out from there. But it's, in any case, it's exciting times.
That's our word.
What is the saying? May you live in interesting times.
Not actually a Chinese curse, but often presented as having as originated as one.
Yeah. I was going to say, these are interesting times.
Yes. Yeah. We have now lived in interesting times. No one wants to go back there.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I would kill for a little of my mundane, please.
Yes. Boring is fine. Boring is just fine.
What I was doing before is preferred. So.
Yeah. Ah, man.
But yeah, no. Other than that, you know, we're all good on this end, and
good.
But you can take that away at any rate. So
that is key. That is key. And yeah, we continue to do well at this end too. So, I mean, in a way, you can't really ask for more than that. You know, still got jobs, still got our health, got a new vehicle, don't have anywhere to take it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're fortunate. We are quite fortunate in that regard. So
yes, there are a lot of people taking it a lot worse. But yeah, oh my gosh, even just walking down, you know, to the local pub for a pint now and again is a thing sorely missed.
Yes.
Oh, well.
I think we'll have to set up a Zoom happy hour pint, you know.
We should invite the whole crew, or as many as can make it.
A social chat.
I like that idea. Yes. Okay. So one thing that we have, I got to admit, like, the reason there's like three different things that all came together, that the topic is not the pandemic, by the way, good listener. That's just the banter. The banter is now done. Is the banter done? Let's find out. We still have been having meetings, obviously, Beavers, Cubs, Scouts, and October is like October, and now into November, we kind of delayed it a little bit this year. But, you know, usually in that kind of mid-October to early November timeframe is when investitures happen. And we've talked about investiture on the podcast before, and I don't want to revisit the entirety of that process. But, of course, an element of investiture is the recitation of the promise.
Ah, yes.
Right? And, I mean, the promise, of course, has many, many components to it, and I don't want to get into all of that. But there is one thing that I wanted to focus on, and this is something that, you know, it actually only appears. So this is the funny part, because at least within Scouts Canada, the actual phrase only appears in the Cub promise. But the concept is well understood as being applicable broadly across scouting in general. And that is the idea of the good turn, right? So, you know, in the Cub promise, for example, it's, you know, I promise to do my best, to love and serve God, to do my duty to the Queen, to keep the law of the Wolf Cub Pack, and to do a good turn for somebody every day. The Beaver Scouts have it a little bit differently. And in the Beaver Scouts, it actually appears, I believe, in the Beaver Scout Law, which is, you know, a beaver works hard, has fun, and helps family and friends. I may have reversed two of those elements, but it ends with helps family and friends. And then, of course, there's the Scout promise. On my honor, I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God and the Queen, to help other people at all times. There it is. And to carry out the spirit of the Scout Law. So, and that Scout promise is, of course, what we then use at all subsequent levels of scouting in Canada. Vents, rovers, scouters, scouts end up will basically recite that for their investiture. And that's great. But like I say, I just want to focus on that idea of the good turn, that sense that, and I mean, if you want to bring it back to the three duties of the scout, right? Duty to self, duty to God, duty to others. The good turn definitely falls under that last one, duty to others. The expectation that every day, or in the case of the scout, as often as possible, to do something kind, do something good for another person, for other people. It's a core element of the scouting movement. Goodness, like it's even... It's right there. And I mean, like, it has been from the outset. Like, you know, if you go back into scouting for boys and you, you know, you pull up campfire yarn number two, kind of just past the section on chivalry, Baden-Powell talks about the code of the knights. And he kind of urges, you know, scouts. I mean, he lays out what the code of the knights was. Their honor was sacred. They were loyal to God, king, and country. They were particularly courteous and polite to all women and children, and to the weak and downtrodden. They were helpful to everybody. They gave money and food where it was needed, and saved up their money to do so. They taught themselves the use of arms in order to protect their religion and their country against enemies, and they kept themselves strong and healthy and active to be able to do these things well. Okay. And then he goes on to write, "You scouts cannot do better than follow the example of the knights." Okay. So that's kind of his preamble in this section. And then he devotes five paragraphs where he uses the phrase good turn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Oh, wow. You think it's important?
You know, it's like he might have been trying to highlight this concept, right? As like a core element of the scouting movement.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think maybe he was just kind of glossing over it, really.
Yeah, you know. One great point about them was that every day they had to do a good turn, and he capitalizes the phrase, to somebody. And that is one of our rules. When you get up in the morning, remember that you have to do a good turn for someone during the day. Tie a knot in your handkerchief or neckerchief to remind yourself of it. If you ever find that you had forgotten to do your daily good turn, you must do two the next day. Remember that by your scout promise, you are on your honor to do it. Gosh, I almost want to like read this in Ian's voice. But do not think that scouts need to do only one good turn a day. They must do one, but if they can do 50, so much the better. A good turn need only be a very small one. It's a good turn even if it is only putting a coin into a poor box, or helping an old woman to cross the street, or making room on a seat for someone, or giving water to a thirsty horse, or removing a bit of banana skin off the pavement. But one must be done every day, and it only counts when you do not accept any reward in return. So, that's right from Scouting for Boys. And, so yeah, like I said, I mean, from the very beginning, kind of, it's framed as an essential element of the scouting movement. It's sort of one of the essential obligations of the scout. And it just, it's kind of funny because now, of course, you know, when we think about the good turn, we actually like to prepare. One of the reasons that we delayed investiture a little bit this year was because we delayed, one of the reasons we did delay it is because we waited a little while to actually walk the cubs through the different elements of the investiture process. You know, so here's the law, here's the promise, here's the motto. What do all of these things mean? Mm-hmm. The scouts did something similar. We did something similar with the beavers as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, sitting down and talking with the scouts. Okay, well, what even is a good turn? Mm-hmm. Right?
When you hear those words, what do they mean?
Right. Especially because, like, it's kind of, I mean, nowadays it would be considered archaic. Say what?
I said, I made a left turn the other day. It was a good turn.
It was a good turn. I signaled and everything. Hey, these days signaling is a good turn. Oh my gosh, Alberta drivers. Such a low bar.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
No. That's I needed to get that off my chest too, I guess.
I thought that was good fodder.
Yeah. Thanks for that one. You teed that one up beautiful. But that, I mean, first off, I think one problem is that good turn is, like, nowadays it's kind of archaic phrasing, mm-hmm. right? You know, like, it's not immediately apparent necessarily what it means, right? Because, like, even the idea of what a turn is, like, the definition of that word or sort of the common usage of that word has shifted since, I don't know, 1907, right?
Right.
As language tends to do. Look up the history of the word nice. It didn't always mean nice. but talking with some of the scouts, one of them raised the specter of the random act of kindness, right? And I mean, if you're not familiar with that, I want to live under your rock. This has, you know, been one of those phrases that has sort of crept into the popular consciousness. The actual phrase, so the original author was Anne Herbert, and I guess her usage of the phrase dates back to, like, the year of my birth, although I think she kind of first published her book about it in the 90s, roughly, like 93 or something like that. Anyways, and I mean, like, the phrase, you know, like, it was, you know, a big, like, Oprah, of course, picked it up, and it was a big thing. And it's the concept of the random act of kindness has certainly crept into sort of the popular mind, right? I mean, I remember this was a thing that we were encouraged to do even back in school, you know, as grade schoolers. And it's a good idea, but it was, and honestly, this is what actually inspired the topic. I literally came up with it So we didn't go to church in person yesterday. We had gone the previous 2 weeks. But I mean, like, our church basically uses, like, a online ticketing system so you can sign up, right?
Eventbrite of churches.
Essentially, well, actually, it's one of those, like, Eventbrite clones, right? It literally is just like, here's tickets, right? Here's, I get an email with my tickets. I can print them out and there's a QR code and everything. I don't need to bring those to church. They just use that to collect, like, my name. And then there's the COVID questions and blah, blah, blah. Then I show up at church. I'm on the list. Check. We're good.
They let you be on the red velvet rope.
Right. There's so much roping. Oh my goodness.
You stand there.
Well, just controlling traffic flow, right? Mm-hmm. In one door, out the other door, stand here, don't stand there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we had gone the last 2 weeks, but I mean, like, it's a big church, right? Like, the capacity of the church is not quite 1,000, but it's big, several hundred. And there's a very large community, obviously, that meets there to worship there. It's one of only two Catholic churches servicing this entire city in which I live, right? Uh-huh. So there's a fairly large congregation. So, you know, we'll go a week, maybe 2 weeks in a row, but then we'll take a week back because the diocese hasn't said, oh, you have to attend in-person mass. Online is still perfectly fine as far as such obligations go. Uh-huh. And we like to, occasionally we'll take a week off or 2 weeks off and, you know, so other people can also go and actually be in church for church.
Yeah, exactly.
And oftentimes when we are at home and doing mass via online, there's a priest out of Duluth, Minnesota, Father Mike Schmitz. All around, like, I mean, we love his services and especially love his homilies. Like, he's an amazing preacher. He really is. But on Sunday, he was actually talking about the random acts of kindness. And, you know, the message that he gave is that it's a good thing to do random acts of kindness, but it's not the ideal. The ideal is to do purposeful acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about what we were talking about, the good turns with the Cubs. And then I grabbed Scouting for Boys off the shelf and I started reading. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found this Code of the Knights and I just was like, whoa. And then I texted you and I'm just like, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when Father Mike was talking about that, and he gave the example, and actually this is something that we had done in the past, but we had run out of them. So we had been meaning to get out and make more. You know, during the course of his homily, he gave a couple of different examples of people who always saw, you know, like on their commutes to work or whatever, always saw homeless people with a sign somewhere along the way, you know, asking for money, asking for food, whatever. And so not wanting to, you know, having seen them once, twice, always the same person, always in the same place, they didn't want to keep being caught without a way of reacting, right? They didn't just want to be just like, oh my gosh, like I have nothing to give and I don't know what to do. So he gave one story of like, you know, a lady who would basically, as she was making her lunch in the morning, she'd make a second one and then she would give it to this person on the way. And in another case, there's a guy from Tennessee that he knew who basically started preparing these little packages that he could keep in his car, which had like, you know, water and an energy bar and, you know, like maybe some gift cards for food or fuel or whatever.
Yeah.
So again, like if he saw somebody in traffic, holding a sign or whatever, like he could just stop, give them a little package and keep going. And we used to do this when we had a few in the car and we'd run out and mm-hmm. we'd been meaning to go out and make more. And so of course, you know, this Father Mike delivers this homily and my wife like immediately runs to Costco, so that we can, you know, actually start putting together bags again, because we've been letting it sit too long. Not that we go anywhere to see anybody who might be in need, but you know, like it is good to, what's the phrase? Be prepared.
I knew it was something like that. I thought it was like, you know, always and, tie your shoe.
Yeah. Right. And like, and that was Father Mike's point is that, you know, like this is something you have to be intentional about, right? You actually have to plan. You know, yeah. If you want to actually, you know, and I mean, he was coming at it from, you know, the Christian angle, obviously, and, you know, being an example of Christianity to people, but it's here too in what Baden-Powell lays down, because he's not just telling you to go out and randomly do good turns. In his explanation of it, there's that unspoken, well, not quite unspoken, but like, this line, you know, like when you get up in the morning, this is the one that made me put it down. When you get up in the morning, remember that you have to do a good turn for someone during the day. Tie a knot in your handkerchief or neckerchief to remind yourself of it. Mm-hmm. It's that sense of intentionality, right? This mm-hmm. isn't just something that you're going to do randomly. This is something that you actually are planning to do, intending to do, you know, and in some way you're actually kind of building your day around it. Or at least you're doing something to make yourself ready for it, right? And mm-hmm. that was what really struck me, is the fact that this good turn idea ties back to that other key element of being a scout, which is to be prepared. Well, what do I need to be prepared for, Baden-Powell? Oh, just any old thing, right? That was his mm-hmm. answer. So when we talk about doing a good turn, you know, and I mean, the last paragraph here, again, like he lists off, and again, like these are more 1907-y examples, right? It's not too many horses for me to give water to anymore.
What?
Right?
I'm not looking hard enough.
Well, the equestrian center is closed because of the pandemic, so I'm doing what I can here.
fair enough.
But you know, just there, the point is not so much, you know, the specifics, right? It's mm-hmm. not, you know, making room on a seat for someone specifically, or giving water to a thirsty horse specifically, or picking up a bit of litter off the pavement specifically. It's the fact that, you know, when we're urging our youth, when we're urging our beavers to help their family and friends, when we're urging our cubs to do a good turn for somebody every day, when we're encouraging our scouts, when we're urging our scouts to help other people at all times, mm-hmm. implicit in that is this notion that they're going to do something every day to make themselves ready to do that for other people, right? It's not something that they're just going to go out and do entirely randomly. And that's not to say that, you know, a random act of kindness isn't a good thing. It definitely is. But scouts should really be much more intentional about it. There really should be that sense of, you know, not only, you know, not only, oh, I should do a good turn for somebody today, but I'm ready to do it, right? How can I be ready to do it? Well, you know what? Maybe if it's a hot day and you're going out, pack an extra bottle of water. Maybe if it's a cold day and you're going to be out and about with your family or whatever, pack along an energy bar and a pair of socks, you know, something like that. Because if you see somebody in need, then you have something that can very quickly be given to them. Goodness, you know, it's wintertime in Canada, you know, even just having like an extra set of hot paws that you can hand over to somebody who's obviously been outside for an hour. Like, that is a really kind thing to do, you know. It really just involves, you know, thinking about your day, thinking about the things that you're likely to encounter in your day. So if you're going to school, what are you likely to encounter there? What's something kind you can do based on one of those things, right? Uh-huh. And there's a bit of an extra challenge, of course, because we're operating under some additional restrictions right now, which limit our ability to just walk up to any person on the side of the road and be just like, hey, do you need help crossing the road? But, you know, it also limits the ability necessarily to maybe share food at school or wherever you're going. But, you know, still that sense of think about your day. What goes on in a typical day? What are some, you know, what do you notice? Do you notice somebody who needs a friend or needs help in some other way? Can you be that for them, right? That sense of just, it's funny too. Like, this is a sort of a, this is something that I've been trying to instill little by little with the scouts whenever I've, I mean, again, obviously with virtual meetings, it's less possible, but like we did a big hike out at Chicacoo Lake, right?
Right.
And one of the things that we were doing was like using compasses and, you know, trying to find cardinal directions and all of that stuff. And whenever I had a chance, I would just kind of interject with some little observation and stuff that we've talked about on the podcast before, right? About like ways that you can wayfind without a compass. You know, so at one point we stopped and they had to find south, but the compass was giving them some trouble. And so I'm just like, well, what's another way that we could figure out which way south is? And I just start looking up at the tree branches. And it takes about 2 minutes, but eventually a couple of the other scouts tune into the fact that all the tree branches are kind of, if you look at them in aggregate, they're kind of all pointing in the same direction, which we talked about on an earlier episode, right? A couple of years ago now, I'm sure, but you know, there are, if you're willing to observe the environment around you, there are little markers that you can find to get a sense of directionality, right? Trees, at least in the northern hemisphere, will tend to bias their branches towards the south, because that's where the light is. And so, you know, it's that's kind of the thing that I keep instilling in the scouts when it comes to things like knowing your terrain, knowing your maps, knowing your area, knowing your directions, is just be observant of your surroundings. But that applies to other elements of what a scout is too. Yes, a scout should have a good head for the outdoors, but a scout is also helpful, trustworthy, kind, cheerful, considerate, clean, wise in the use of resources. And that definitely all goes towards helping other people at all times. And how can you best help other people? Well, by noticing them first, right? And especially if they're people you see day in and day out, noticing the things that they do, noticing the situations that they are in, and then just stopping and thinking, well, how can I put myself into that situation with them in a way that helps them? That's maybe a more advanced way of putting it. You know, I maybe have to leave it as a challenge to some of you scouters out there listening in to, you know, figure out exactly how to translate that down to, you know, language that, say, a 5 or 6 or 7 year old can understand. Mm-hmm. But that's the basic idea of it, is first notice, then plan, then act, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can skip the plan part, just notice and act. That's the random act of kindness. But I think the scouting ideal is best fulfilled in that more intentional notice, plan, act. Oh, wait, we have a phrase for that too. Plan, do, review.
It's funny how that all kind of ties together, isn't it?
I know, right? It's almost like there's some overarching philosophy here.
I don't see it.
You know, yeah, we're just a youth organization that dresses funny.
And flies by the seat of our pants.
Well, there are days.
Yeah. I've been to a jamboree. I know how it goes.
So that is the big collection of thoughts that I've literally just been stewing on since yesterday sometime. Well, but
I still try to do a good turn daily. I don't know about you. I pushed on my, even though I'm at home being socially distant, doesn't mean I don't go out into the neighborhood and walk. And I ended up pushing a vehicle out of a snowbank. So
nice. Monday's, you know, my grocery day, so yeah. I am not infrequently a tall person who can grab things off of the top shelf. Because, you know, some people are, I guess, not as tall as me, and there are items that get pushed back on the top shelf that maybe the yeast, like, you know, who uses more yeast than short little old grandmas? And it's at the top of the top shelf. You know,
yeah, they bury that stuff.
Yeah. So things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't take much. And, you know, like it again, coming back to Baden Powell's words, a good turn need only be a very small one. It's a good mm-hmm. turn, even if it's only, you know, putting a coin into a poor box or helping someone cross the street or making room on a seat for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that we ask youth at every level of scouting to promise to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we always do a good idea or a good job idea of explaining exactly what that means. You know, to take that thing that you're promising to, that nebulous thing that you're promising to, and actually turning it into not just an action, right? And this gets at the core of something else that I often talk about when I talk about, you know, things in the scouting movement sometimes come up for debate, and I'm kind of just like, well, okay, yeah, like, I mean, we could do away with that aspect, but then what are we? We're just some other youth group that makes its members dress funny, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's something about scouting that's supposed to be, and I think for people like you and me, is internalized. You know, it becomes a part of a person's identity, a part of their being, a part of sort of the firmware of their daily operations, right? It's, you know, it's not just a youth group. I mean, ideally, it's not just something, you know, it's not just a youth group thing that I do for, you know, an hour a week and then I'm done. It's something that I am. And we meet at these times, but even when we are not meeting, it's still something that I am, right? That's the ideal. It's not going to be true for every youth. You know, not everybody is going to internalize it the way that we have, but we have, and others who are like us have. And building in this idea of just, you know, building this idea of just doing a good turn into your day is, that is what we ask all the youth to promise to. And we should do a bit better job of explaining what that actually means. And this is a way that we can, I think. This is, you know, I'm hoping at least with this episode that we can give people a few pointers as to how maybe to go about doing that with their cubs and beavers and scouts, vents, Hopefully, you know, the rovers can figure this one out for themselves. But you know what? Hey, advisors, by all means, feel free.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you do a, I'm assuming that everybody will move up in their sections and that there will be no new intake. But I mean, you do a good job at explaining it in the younger sections, and it'll.
Yep. And I mean, I think.
It'll stick, right?
I think in the end, you know. I think in the end, if scouting is going to, you know, continue being a really relevant thing, you know, it'll be in this, you know, like we really, I think, have maybe gotten away a little bit from the idea that a scout, someone who's part of scouts, is someone that you can just look to and know that this person is likely to be a little bit more helpful, right? That this person is likely to be more trustworthy. I think at one point, and maybe in some countries this is still true. I don't know if this is as true in Canada as it maybe once was. I think that at one point, though, it was fairly true that this was, you know, you could look at a scout and it's like, okay, this is someone who is helpful, who is trustworthy. A lot of scouts still say those words. I don't know how many of them take what they're saying and then try and actually translate that out into their day-to-day lives. I hope it's a lot of them, but I wonder if maybe, you know, we've lost some of that image that people who aren't part of scouting have of us, right? And I think that if there's a way to restore that, it's not going to be through, I mean, not that grand measures to boost the visibility of the scouting movement as a public entity, not that recruitment drives, not that all of these things aren't important, but what's really going to move people in the direction of scouting is the little stuff that the scouts around them that they know about do, and do regularly and do well. That's certainly been how we've grown the 59th, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know some groups do, like, you know, membership key, you know, like membership drives. This is a bigger thing again in like the United States, where the scouts will even go into the schools sometimes, do like recruitment drives in the schools. We've never had to do that in the 59th, at least as long as I've been with it, right? We haven't had to do that. We've just done our thing, and other people have seen us do our thing and wanted to come along. And I think, you know, this central idea of the Good Turn is one of those things that, you know, we as scouts can do, and it's our thing, and we do our thing, and other people see that, and if they see that, they will hopefully want to come along as well. Woohoo! That was more philosophical than I was expecting.
Yeah, nothing like waxing philosophically for a bit.
Well, I'll blame the pandemic and all of this isolation. It's making my brain all funny.
Well, isn't isolation what breeds creativity? So that's
boredom is. Boredom, yeah. Is actually, that's yes.
That's where all the artistic and creativity minds are flourishing right now. Is the fact that we're all supposed to be socially distant, and
I have this conversation with my kids at least once a day. I'm bored. Oh, good. Then your imagination's about to turn on.
Yeah.
And, you know, 20 minutes later, they're telling some epic world-creating story with the Legos over here. I should shoot you a photo. Like, they've built a complete city. It's amazing.
Mm. I'd like to. Feel free.
But, anyways. So, I do have one shout out, and I've been sitting on this one for way too long, like since August. I keep forgetting that it's here in my show notes, so I apologize. But, and this actually comes via Instagram, of all places.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in August, I posted so on Instagram, like I post like little 1 minute or almost 1 minute videos that are like a short segment of the episode, just a little bit of the chat. And then like I throw the quick link to the show notes underneath that. And this was episode 102, Scouting Together Again. It's kind of anticipating our return to in-person scouting. Like I say, it was a while ago. And Scouter Kool-Aid wrote in, We did Zoom meal check-ins, Zoom calls for Friday opening, Saturday a.m., early Saturday p.m. activities, evening activities, campfire, Sunday a.m. activities, scout zone, and closing, and we had an optional offline activity later on the Saturday afternoon. Because I think at one point we had talked in that episode about, or maybe referred to an earlier discussion about virtual campfires. And right. So evidently Scouter Kool-Aid, don't know what group they're with, but... their group had done that. Sounds like it had been a pretty great time. Sounds like it went off fairly successfully. So, and I suppose those are good things to keep in mind as we proceed forward. There are parts of Canada that are now back up to like stage 4. Prince Edward Island, I think, is up to stage 4, last I checked at any rate. So they can do indoor meetings and camps again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But over here, Alberta, British Columbia, we're all virtual right now. So... keep those ideas in mind because we may wind up needing them yet again. Mm-hmm. All right. You got any shout outs?
Nope. not really. I guess we can do a shout out to the healthcare professionals that are in our lives that are doing a bang up job, and hopefully that, you know, things turn around and can ease some of the stresses in their day.
Yep. And on that note too, I think, you know, a second shout out, I'm definitely with you, you know, on giving a shout out to our healthcare professionals. Another one, two, actually one, the first is to teachers out there who continue to deliver education to our youth. Cause oh my gosh, that is yeoman's work. Mm-hmm. And then some, I'm nothing but impressed with how it's been going for the girls. I hope others have been experiencing similarly positive education as they. And then also to you scouters out there, the ones who made it work when we could do in person, who are figuring out ways to make it work now that we can't again. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you've just been not able to do in person and you're still figuring out ways to make it work for your youth. Even if there's less youth than there were last year, a shout out to you as well for continuing to find ways to keep scouting going in your communities, because that's important too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And as always, of course, a shout out and a thank you to the folks at Scouting Radio for rebroadcasting our episodes to their worldwide audience. If you're listening to us on Scouting Radio right now, please let us know, reach out, get in touch. We would, of course, love to hear from you.
Scouter Ken.
Yes.
How does one get a hold of us in the current day and age with many platforms that we are reaching out on?
Well, fortunately, all the platforms respect social distancing requirements, being electronic. So, the usual channels, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com or at outlook.com. You can go to scoutingstuffpodcast.com and leave us a voice message there. I believe now the link is just in the top menu bar. I don't have to pop out the sidebar anymore. You can find us on Twitter, SSYSK Podcast, or Facebook or Instagram.com. We are /scoutingstuffpodcast there. We are on TikTok, although admittedly I'm kind of phasing that out again, just because reasons. Day job reasons, so don't worry about it. And of course, we do have this Discord server right here. You're always welcome to join us on the server. Link is in the show notes. And you can leave us a review on iTunes or, well, actually, nowadays, I use Love the Podcast. So basically, just go to the show notes, click the Leave Us a Review link, and it will take you to a service called Love the Podcast. And that will basically give you then links to where you can find us on like iTunes and Overcast and anywhere else that supports actually leaving reviews. So do that. Right?
We like reviews.
Please do, because then if anybody is looking for stuff about scouting, more reviews bubbles us up in the related results, right? If someone's looking at a podcast, and then underneath that, there'll be like the, hey, if you like this, you may also enjoy, and the reviews bubble us up that list. Mm-hmm. So that's how that works.
Yay, algorithms.
Yeah. All right. Well... thank you, Scouter Colin. Good to talk to you again.
As always, same to you, Scouter Ken.
Mm-hmm. And thank you out there for listening. And until next time, be prepared.